Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, a brilliant man if ever I have met one. He holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland. His areas of expertise include American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. Brad Hayes, welcome.
Great to be on with you, Alan.
So I guess I want to start with the Supreme Court. I went around during the Trump election and I said, hey, this is going to be, if Trump is elected, you'll be sorry. I said that to the moderates and liberals in this society. And some people looked up their noses and some people didn't agree. But boy, it certainly has turned out to be true, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there hasn't been a massive ideological swing on the court, in part because we've had a period in which we've seen kind of conservatives replaced by other conservatives. Now, one of the things that is important to note that somebody like Kennedy, who was conservative, but probably on today's standards, a moderate conservative, is being replaced by Kavanaugh, who in the first term showed that he has some pretty significant conservative leanings and has departed in important ways from some of the doctrine that Kennedy was committed to. And perhaps this is what you're thinking of, the partisan gerrymandering decision that the court rendered is probably the biggest example that we have so far of the kind of ideological change on the court under Trump.
Let me interrupt you for a moment there, Professor. It seems to me Felix Frankfurter back in the day said we have to stay out of gerrymandering and it's the political thicket and we're not going to go there. And the court hasn't gone there. So despite the fact that it certainly is a horror politicians are able to win their own elections by just how they draw their districts, it wasn't entirely unexpected, was it?
Unexpected, no, but that doesn't mean that it's not consequential. And I think
consequential.
Right. Kennedy had refused to rule partisan gerrymandering. And of course, that is the redrawing of legislative district lines for partisan advantage. He had refused to say that courts can't remedy that. Now, they hadn't actually intervened to provide a remedy, but he kept on basically saying that, you know, let's kick it back down to the lower courts and let's see if they can come up with some kind of standard by which we can evaluate this. And he kept doing that. And if you look at some of the writing, particularly of Kagan, it was pretty clear that she was basically creating a roadmap to convince Kennedy that partisan gerrymandering would be justiciable, which is the term meaning basically that the courts could remedy these types of constitutional violations. But when Kavanaugh came on, you know, with Kennedy's departure, what we had was a rejection of that, right? Now there were five votes that partisan gerrymandering is non-justiciable. And what that means is that federal courts will not interfere with even, you know, what is stark, obvious partisan gerrymandering. And in the case that they were hearing, part of the case came out of places like North Carolina, where in North Carolina, I mean, they were on the record about
what they were doing.
Yeah, very clear. I mean, they said that, I think the quote was, we are going to draw the lines to ensure 9 Republican seats and 3 Democratic seats because we don't think that there's a way to do it where we could get 10 Republican seats and 2 Democratic districts. Right? That was actually in the record. Yeah, so, great. I mean, they were very clear about what they were doing. But Roberts indicated that he just doesn't want the courts involved. So it's kind of Frankfurter-esque to take it back to your original point. But nevertheless, the courts have been involved in gerrymandering for a long time on the racial side, and there isn't a great divide between racial gerrymandering and partisan gerrymandering. And I think this is one of the important points that we haven't talked about enough. The reason why there was racial gerrymandering, right? In other words, why, in fact, there's an effort to redraw district lines to reduce the voting share of persons of color is because they were voting for certain parties,
Democrats
now, that were favorable to their interests. Well, now you can simply draw lines that are disadvantageous to Democrats, right? So, in other words, not only do you undercut a commitment to, you know, some kind of fairness on party grounds, but you've also done that on racial grounds, and that's deeply problematic.
So, just to be clear, the court was saying that the one place we will allow some kind of constitutional, you know, redress is where it's done specifically on the basis of race. And now that seems to be gone.
Well, I mean, again, you can't say now that, you know, we're going to redraw this to disadvantage persons of color, but you don't need to do that. Yeah, you can basically say, look, we're just going to draw it to adversely impact Democrats. And, you know, that'll be a proxy and get Republicans what they need. And so if you package this together, and so this is where there's a little bit of ideological continuity before some of the Trump justices got onto the court, there is this kind of assault on healthy democratic practices that's coming from the court. So there's a hostility to federal enforcement of longstanding voter rights protections, particularly as applicable to voters of color. We've seen them enable kind of wealthy Americans to enjoy an outsized vote in campaigns. We've seen the court obstruct state efforts to create public financing of campaigns that could in some ways nullify the monetary advantage enjoyed by candidates that are either self-funded or privately funded. And in some ways, they've even kind of laid a foundation to enable states to apportion their legislative districts based on eligible voters rather than all people in those districts, right? So all of this suggests some type of judicial hostility to what are perceived as healthy democratic practices.
Absolutely. So we will send, just to put a face on it, we'll send our kids to Vietnam or to other places to fight for, quote, democracy. And yet our Supreme Court of the United States says, okay, legislature, you can apportion your districts to deprive people of their rightful impact on decision making, and we will say that that is as American as apple pie.
And so that leaves us in this really strange position, too, where if you're thinking about, okay, well, what do we do about partisan gerrymandering going forward? One of the things that the court said, and this is what's somewhat odd, is that they said basically, we are concerned about entering this political thicket of partisan gerrymandering, but we're fine if state courts do it. So in other words, they were basically saying that this shouldn't be decided by federal courts, but state courts are perfectly acceptable vehicles for these types of challenges. And we've seen these effects. So, for example, in Pennsylvania, back in, I guess it was actually early 2018, it might have actually been in 2017, but whatever the case, the state Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ordered its state congressional legislative lines redrawn, and it had a profound effect in terms of the competitiveness. The vote share in 2018 was roughly equivalent. Democrats, I think, received about 53% of the vote, Republicans 47%. And it was split in terms of the representatives being sent to Congress. And that was a dramatic change. I think Democrats picked up four or five seats after the judicially ordered redistricting.
So the Supreme Court hasn't found a way yet, because they are a bunch of Republicans, in my opinion, the majority. They haven't found a way to take that decision out of the state courts, which one would predict they would do.
Well, in other words, they are unwilling to look at the methods that have been applied by state courts successfully.
Because in other places, Brad, the state courts, of course, will have ruled for, quote, them.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And importantly, you know, partisan gerrymandering does not cut exclusively one way. It's been used more effectively of late by Republicans, because Republicans have controlled more state houses. They, prior to like 2018, they controlled like 34 state houses nationwide. But Democrats have used this too.
Absolutely.
So this is just one of those tools that we need some kind of nonpartisan vehicle for reform. Courts were hopefully that vehicle, but it certainly isn't going to be federal courts moving forward.
Wonderful friend, Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, a great Professor in residence right here at WAMC. Brad, we are always so delighted that you're with us.
Great to be on with you, Alan.